But when Spock didn't respond, I knew he was dead. I was able to look at the basket in the water. They had lowered the basket, and it was probably 5 or 6 feet away from me, maybe a little bit more. And I didn't know if I had the courage to let go of the life ring and make the dash for the basket or not. Because if I didn't make the basket, I knew I didn't have the strength to do anything else.
So the Coast Guard lowers the basket, but it's up to you to get into the basket.
Well, at that point, the Coast Guard did not have a rescue swimmer program. So all they did was lower baskets and you had to get in them yourself. Fortunately for us, that night, before that Coast Guard helicopter launched from Elizabeth City, South Carolina, North Carolina, a Navy rescue diver, a Navy rescue swimmer, had heard what was going on a radio, came to the Coast Guard Naval Coast Guard station and volunteered to go on the flight. One of the mistakes the Coast Guard made in this whole episode was at the very beginning, we told them that we,
of the rescue operation,
of the entire notification that we were in trouble, they loaded dewatering pumps onto the helicopter in Elizabeth City. It took them an hour to load the pumps. When they finished loading the pumps, they got word, no, they're abandoning ship. Now they had to take all this equipment off the helicopter, which took another half an hour, 45 minutes. So the helicopter was delayed by an hour to get into the air. But in that meantime, this rescue diver, or rescue swimmer from the Navy, volunteered to go on the mission. As it turned out, he was in the water that night. He had been lowered by the Coast Guard into the water. No coordination, because the Coast Guard had never had a rescue swimmer program, so they didn't know what he did or how he did it. They just let him go into the water. During the subsequent investigation and the trial and so forth, I asked the rescue swimmer, I said, did you push me into the basket? He said, mate, that night, I couldn't tell if people were alive or dead. I was just pushing bodies to the basket.
So he was pushing bodies into the basket?
Yeah.
And you don't remember?
I don't remember him in the water near me, but he must have been. Had to have been. They wouldn't have left him elsewhere. And
so he was swimming along with the basket?
What they do is they would raise him up, bring him to a new location, raise him, and lower him down.
Okay.
So his suit was just a regular dive suit, so they... water was inside his suit. He was suffering hypothermia, too.
Okay, so he had a wetsuit on.
Yeah. So he said he doesn't remember whether he pushed me into the basket or not. When I get into the basket, I can remember the absolute blast of cold air from the helicopter, and they raised me up. When they put me inside the cabin, there was one survivor sitting in one of the jump seats against the bulkhead of the helicopter. They put me in a seat right beside them, and they put a space blanket, a survival blanket around me, and they had big heaters blasting on us. At that point, there were probably 8 to 10 bodies that were already stacked on the floor of the helicopter. And I had been in the North Sea I worked on the oil rigs out there, and I've been into some cold water survival schools. Been on helicopters quite a bit. And when they sat me down in the chair in one of the seats, they put a headset on me so they could communicate with me. And they asked me if there were other survivors, what the condition, blah, blah. At that point, I heard the pilot say to the crew engineer, we're at bingo fuel. Bingo fuel means you're out of here, you're going back to the base because you're at your absolute critical fuel point.
So two of the survivors were on the helicopter at this point?
This point.
And where is the third survivor at this point?
Nobody knows at this point.